Kind of interesting that the Romans have understandably been remembered as a brutal, cruel, and abusive occupiers. That the Romans, where they held territory, did so by treating those around them as though they were second-class citizens at best, or slaves at worst. The Roman Empire was not a place to be if you weren't Roman. And they had a lot of complaints about other parts of the world that were not of Rome. That the people there were barbaric. That the people there were uneducated. That the people there were unworthy of Roman rule because they were little more than animals. And they liked to tell stories among themselves about how awful these people were, and that it was better for the world that Rome rule them. One of the reasons that the Romans found to hate the Christians was word had gotten back to the leadership in Rome that Christians were cannibals. And of course, even the Romans understood that cannibals were horrible barbarians who were not worthy of being called humans. They were animals. They were subhuman. And of course, the reason the Romans thought this was that they had received word that the Christians, when they worshipped on any given Sunday, would eat the flesh and drink the blood of their Savior. And so the Romans said to themselves, these are some bad, bad people. It wasn't until Christians actually got to Rome and the Romans went, wait a minute, you're eating bread and drinking wine? That does not seem quite as heinous as eating human flesh and drinking human blood. Does not mean that they did not find lots of reasons to dislike us anyway, because the Romans found all sorts of reasons to dislike anyone who was not of Rome, but they were very happy to discover that we weren't actual cannibals. But Jesus' message, when he is proclaiming to the crowds in Galilee, is welcomed with about the same acceptability as though Jesus were suggesting cannibalism. He says to them, I am the bread of life. If you don't eat from me, you will die. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert. They ate that whatchamacallit stuff that appeared on the ground, and they died. They did die, I mean, to be fair, not immediately. It wasn't poisonous. They died in the sense that all human beings sooner or later die. Jesus then says to his disciples, but if you eat of me, if you eat of my bread, if you eat of the bread of life that I am, you will not die in the sense that you will be lifted up to the resurrection. He's promising that those who believe in Christ will not die, but live again. You know, that seems like that should be a fairly popular thing to say. After all, who's going to listen to the message of how would you like immortal life? How would you like to live forever? How would you like... Not many of us are going to sort of take that offer and be like, I don't know, it doesn't sound like fun. And most of us aren't going to say, I kind of like getting old. I like things not working. I like waking up in the morning and not being able to make a fist because my arthritis is in full bore. Most of us don't like that concept. Most of us don't like the notion of our mortality. If you were to ask a human being if they have fears, they're going to tell you they're afraid of spiders, or they're going to tell you they're afraid of heights or needles or any number of things. But if you really dig down to the core of any human that's really come face to face with their mortality, and you say to them, what is it that you're most afraid of? We're going to say, what I'm most afraid of is not being. Really deep down inside, the very, very center of what we're afraid of, we're afraid of that notion of no longer being, of exiting this world into nothingness and having nothing come after it. Jesus says to those who are following him, if you eat of me, which he is talking now, of course, about having faith in what it is that he's doing, receiving your life back from him. If you take your life from me, then you won't die. You won't cease to be. You won't simply wink out of existence when your last heartbeat beats. But instead, I will take you to be with my Father's kingdom, where you will live forever. And you might say, why is it that they suddenly respond so negatively to something? Because if that really is at the very core of humanity, our deepest fear, that fear of non-being, why wouldn't they have welcomed something like that? Why wouldn't they have said, oh, I love that idea. Yes, absolutely. And of course, some people did. Some people did welcome that idea, but the crowds did not. The masses that had come to follow Jesus around, ostensibly because he kept doing things like offering them free healthcare and free food. I mean, let's face it, the crowds loved following Jesus around because if they were sick, he healed them. If they were hungry, he fed them. If they were thirsty, he gave them drink. They were kind of happy with that arrangement. So why is it suddenly that when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, that thing that is at the very core of your deepest fear that you hide from or you sublimate or you make fun of, but is still at the very essence of who you are, I'm going to take that fear away from you because I can give you life eternal. It's because it was too much. The promise was too big, too frightening. For someone who does not have hope, one of the most terrifying things that you can present them with, and I know this sounds absolutely nonsensical, but I'm going to tell you this, the honest to God truth. For someone who truly has no hope, one of the most terrifying things you can give them is a little bit of hope. Because that little bit of hope is so precious. It is so delicate. And the notion of going from a place where you have accepted that you have no hope to a place where you have a hope but you're afraid you're going to lose it is terrifying. It requires a tremendous quantity of courage to lay hold of a hope that you have to have faith will be there. To lay hold of a hope that you have to believe will pay off. To let go of hopelessness and to accept the possibility of redemption. For human beings, that's a terrifying thing, because what if? What if you lose it? What if it breaks? What if it doesn't work? What do you do if the bread that you're promised spoils? Jesus is not giving them an easy message. And it sounds like that he is. I am the bread of life. Everyone who comes to me has hope. Everyone who comes to me has life. Life abundant, life eternal. It sounds like that's a great, great promise. And for those of us who've grown up in the faith, it means it is a great promise because we've not been without hope. But to the people that Jesus is speaking to, specifically to the Galileans, because I want you to know a few things about the Galileans. The Galileans didn't live in Jerusalem. They didn't live in and among God's people. They didn't live and swim in the waters of the political and theological river that was Jerusalem. They lived on the far, far, far border of the kingdom, where their neighbors were Greeks and Romans. And their faith was minimalized at every step, and they barely hung on with their fingernails to their identity as Jews. These are not the folks who live in the easy. These are the folks who live in the hard. And Jesus has come to them and has promised them hope. And they have to make a decision. Will they give up on hopelessness? It's a challenge. It's so much of a challenge, in fact, that Jesus' ministry goes from being a ministry of thousands. We're told that he was feed 4,000 or 5,000 at a pop. And that's not just everybody, that's just the men. Women and children were not counted in some of those counts. Who knows how many people Jesus had following him around? Just vast crowds of people, 10,000 strong, following him around. And he comes to them and he says, I need you to abandon hopelessness and accept for yourself this new life that I bring to you. But you have to trust me that I'm going to do what I say. And 12 people walk away with him. As a minister, we would count that as a loss. You know, if you showed up at church on Sunday and you had a crowd of 5,000 people you were preaching to, and you gave them a message, and at the next Sunday service you had 12 people showed up, your board of directors would be looking for a new pastor really quick. They'd be like, oh man, that guy really messed that sermon up. Christ says, this is the beginning that I'm going to work from. These courageous individuals who have accepted the possibility that there's hope beyond this life. That I'm the hope, that I'm the bread of life, that everyone that comes to me will live abundantly and live forever. And he says to him, look, I cannot tell you that it's going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be hard. There are going to be times when your faith is tested. There's going to be times when you don't know that you're doing the right thing. And some of the disciples really, really struggled with, you know, Thomas, who said, well, I don't know that Jesus really was resurrected. I'm going to see the hands. I'm going to feel the side. Peter says, oh, I don't know that Jesus guy. I never heard of him before in my life. I don't know what you're talking about. Judas, of course, we all know, fell away rather heavily. There were difficult times. But through it all, Christ continued to lift them up, continued to bring them back, continued to give them new hope, continued to give them courage. Peter becomes the leader of the church. The same guy that said, I don't even know that Jesus guy. Jesus comes back and says, no, you're my man. You've got this. You fell. I'm going to help you back up again. And I'm going to continue to give you this life abundant, life everlasting. Because in life, hope may be terrifying for the hopeless. But if you get past the fear, you get past the fear of what if it's real? What if it's going to be okay? What if, and you embrace the new life, there is joy beyond that overcomes everything that you will ever experience. Every trial that you will ever face will pale in comparison to the strength you receive from God. Every sorrow that you will experience will be absolutely washed over by the peace that comes from God. Every fear you ever experience will be completely comforted by the presence of the Holy Spirit. When we accept the bread of life, it doesn't just promise us life beyond this grave. It promises us life in this world. And this world will try to impose death on us while we walk around. Impose death on us through fear, uncertainty, self-loathing, the feelings of being unloved and unlovable. This world will try to impose death on us while we still walk around, and the bread of life will fight back against that death in a way that is incredible. And it will tell us that we are lovable and loved, that we are worthy and accepted, that we are truly the children of God. And that in that, God loves us and walks with us through every single thing. There are a lot of things in life that you have to have just this much courage for. I once heard a piece of fiction that suggested that all a human being needs is 3 seconds of courage. It takes 3 seconds of courage most of the time. People think you have to be brave all the time. Really, 3 seconds will do it. They were talking about how hard it is to express your feelings of love to somebody the first time you have to express that you love them. You only need 3 seconds of courage because once the words have come out of your mouth, the die is rolled and you're just going to have to put up with whatever happens after that. You don't have to be courageous the rest of the time. You just have to be courageous long enough to ask that person out. Courageous enough to say that you love that person. Courageous enough to say you forgive that person. Courageous enough to say, I believe in the bread of heaven. 3 seconds of courage is all it takes. And after that, the blessings come. So this is what Jesus is trying to tell the people here on the shores of Galilee. Can you have 3 seconds of courage long enough to believe and confess that I am Christ? And yeah, most of them don't. Because they weren't ready to give up on being hopeless. Because it was comfortable. They knew how to be hopeless. The prospect of having hope was terrifying because hope is something worth living for, and it's something you're frightened to lose. Jesus was saying, have 3 seconds of courage to accept the bread of heaven. And if you do, live forever. Amen.